I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation? Madam Clerk?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you. Ms. Vivanco, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
We have an addendum to this evening's council meeting. One of the delegations, Fred Bracken, is not going to be here this evening, so he's been deleted from the agenda. That takes us to announcements. There's only one announcement, and that has to do with the Taste of Fortery, which took place on Saturday down on Jarvis Street. And I understand that it was a fantastic day. I know the weather was wonderful. Councillor McDermott, I wonder if you have any comments with respect to it.
Well, thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I do. There was a pretty big day in Bridgeburg celebrating the beginning of our revitalization. And to be quite frank, we had 6,000 to 9,000 people there during the day. All the vendors seemed happy. A lot of them sold out. And it was a day that families were together and there were lots of smiles. And our BIA has done a wonderful job in organizing this event and making sure the weather was going to be great as well. I also want to thank the town for all the help they give us in bringing the picnic tables and the garbage cans and picking up the garbage today. They also assisted us with street sweeping. The place looked great. And we hope to make this an annual event. The second thing was I had the opportunity, Your Worship, to represent you at the 50th anniversary of Fire Hall number 6. And it was a great day to be out there with the firefighters and to tell them that the council supports them 100% in their efforts. And it was a very nice party. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much, Councillor McDermott, and thank you for filling in for me on Saturday evening. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Councillor Butler.
Under considerations of bylaws, 117-2015.
And
I do business with
Okay. And I also have a conflict for one item in bylaw 118-2015, so I'll be asking for that to be dealt with separately. Are there any others? If not, then we'll proceed with the agenda. There are two public notices with respect to meetings. The first relates to the Stevensville Core Area Community Improvement Plan, CIP, and that's a statutory public meeting which will be held October the 5th, 2015, here in the council chambers starting at 6 p.m. And the second is the 2016 budget meeting schedule, meeting number one, Wednesday, November 4th, 2015. That will deal with the capital budget and forecast. Number two is on Wednesday, December the 9th, 2015. That will be the water and wastewater budget. Number three is Wednesday, January the 13th, 2016, and that is the library and EDTC budgets. Number four is Wednesday, January 27th, 2016. That's the general levy operating budget. And number five, if required, will be Wednesday, February the 3rd, and that will be to catch up on, that's 2016, that will be to catch up on anything that remains outstanding. I don't see Councillor Annunziata here this evening, so we'll skip over the regional councillor report, and if he arrives later, we'll go back to him. That takes us to presentations and delegations. We have one remaining delegation, and that is Donna Hind, who's a principal of the Planning Partnership, and this is with respect to the Bay Beach Master Plan Stage 2, and this is an update. Before Ms. Hind starts, I wonder if we could have a resolution to permit her her delegation to go an additional 10 minutes. Councillor Lubert, Councillor McDermott, any questions? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. So you do have 20 minutes, Ms. Hind, but that doesn't mean you have to take full advantage of it. Good evening.
noted. I'm going to start my timer. Thank you very much for the opportunity to give Council an update on the work we've done since the first workshop. You will remember that we've framed all the work on the Bay Beach Master Plan around three community workshops. I'm here tonight to report out on the work we did and presented at the second community workshop, where we shared the next iteration of ideas on three optional concept plans, as well as some early thinking on the economic and financial analysis, some suggestions for parking and operations. If you recall the terms of reference, you asked us to prepare a master plan that achieved community consensus, that had a short and long-term vision, that had very specific recommendations for the next 5 years. In particular, Council asked us to prepare a plan that supported Crystal Beach as a mixed-use destination and served as a catalyst for stimulating growth. We've had hundreds and hundreds of inputs over the past couple of months. We've had about 70 one-on-one meetings. We had a huge turnout at the first workshop. Many, many emails that I get almost on a daily basis, telephone conversations, and then again, another terrific round of input at the second workshop. You can imagine with each person that's giving me input, they're commenting on many components of the plan. So those hundreds of inputs times many components of the plan. So we're trying to dissect thousands of inputs on the Bay Beach Master Plan. A little bit of context to start with. Bay Beach is what we think one of the town's most significant beach parks along Lake Erie. It's one of only a handful of municipal parks that give the community access to the water's edge. Most of the access points on the Lake Erie shoreline are road rights of way, so they're 40 or 60 feet wide. Bay Beach is a town-wide specialized park. It's about 3.3 kilometers within about 4 kilometers of shoreline on Abano Bay. We continue to work within the framework of the 8 key directions that came out of the first workshop, and then were further verified through the web, through emails, through Facebook, and so they continue to direct the work that we do on the concept plan. So we're enhancing beach experience, we're enhancing waterfront access, we're optimizing the return on investment, we're suggesting parking, etc. So a little bit about how the Bay Beach Park fits within the context of Crystal Beach, how we're hoping that it contributes to it being a mixed-use destination and helps stimulate economic growth. So you can see the red box is the primary study area, the yellow box is other lands that the town owns, including the Ashwood Road entrance. We think that the key to enhancing the Crystal Beach as a destination and stimulating economic growth is to make very clear pedestrian connections between the village core, the downtown core, and the beach. So reaching right out to Ridgeway Avenue, providing connection along Erie Road, and that's a combination of enhanced streetscape, enhanced signage, and sidewalks that will provide clear routes for people to walk between the beach and parking, and hopefully along the way stop and support businesses in Crystal Beach. I'm going to start with the parking strategy because I've got to say it's completely overwhelmed the conversations about the master plan. So the strategy that we're exploring is a strategy that supports businesses, that helps to infill the Bay Beach neighborhood and serves the park. So how do we do that? We have a 10-point parking strategy to locate parking close to or in downtown Crystal Beach, a short walk from the beach on lands that are zoned commercial. The parking could be located on private property that's zoned commercial and are not in residential neighborhoods. That parking can be temporary event, seasonal, and you see this at many, many places where there's high impact for a couple of key days, a couple of months, so we're not paving huge tracts of land to provide parking. So parking can be temporary, seasonal, event-based. We would prohibit parking for some streets in defined areas close to the beach on some or all summer weekends. That all parking on town-owned lots would be pay. We pay for on-street parking in defined areas on summer weekends and on holidays. That you would pay more the closer you are to the beach. That we would enforce the parking regulations. That the plan incorporates a location for drop-off at the park. that we connect the parking lots to Bay Beach Park with sidewalks, and we'd landscape all of the parking lots. I wanted to share with you some of what we have heard. I'm going to do this a couple of points along the presentation. I'm not going to read them, but they're there for you to scan. Some of what we've heard about parking, whether these are comments that we got at the workshop or in follow-up emails or through telephone calls. The next component I wanted to talk about is the strategy to manage use. So next to a strategy for parking, we heard every time we talk to anybody the issue about how to manage use. So this is a very tricky problem to solve because we are trying to continue to provide a region-wide destination, provide a town-wide destination, provide a neighborhood amenity for people that live in Crystal Beach and Bay Beach, and we're cognizant of the costs to operate it. So how do we balance some of those competing demands and interests? We think that there's four prongs to managing use. One of it is parking, as I just mentioned, and we think that locating close to the beach but not on the beach is a way to help manage use, to control the number of spaces, to control the cost of parking, gate control, and you will spend many more days after we're done deciding how much to charge, when to charge, what time of day, who should pay. But clearly many people in the community think that that's a key to controlling use. People on the team aren't convinced that that's the key to controlling use. We can think of many places where you pay to get admission and lots of people come. So another way to manage use is perhaps to have an on-site beach supervisor. Even that, there are many variables, hours of the day, days of the week, months of the year. And then providing information, options for other beaches, telling people that the beach is full, why controlling use is important, and what appropriate beach etiquette is. Again, I wanted to share with you some of what we've heard about beach, about fees. Recommendations for the environment. We will be avoiding disturbance to existing hibernation areas. We're removing the remnants of the dance hall foundation, suggesting protecting the shoreline at the crest of the dune with stacked rock and stone. I got to say just one story. When I casually respond to emails, I made the mistake of saying, when I was asked what the material would be, I said it was a Gavian basket, and it was like I just released a ball in a pinball machine because I got one email, another email, another email, another email, and I tried to quickly correct when I inadvertently said it was a Gavian basket. So I'm telling you now on the microphone that it's stacked stone or rock, similar to the conditions along the shoreline east and west of the site. Beach grass, signage, planting native trees and shrubs. So a bit about the foundations. We are suggesting removing the dance hall foundation, and our calculations say that we gain about 750 square meters of beach, but we would avoid disturbance to habitat by maintaining the footing for the upper beach terrace, and I'll explain why that's a key component of the plan when I show you the concepts. A seventh recommendation of the environmental strategies is that it's really important to implement a larger scale stewardship plan to enhance the conditions along the entire Crystal Beach, Bay Beach shoreline. That Bay Beach is a tiny fraction of a larger system, and we're putting a lot of pressure on this very tiny component when you look up and down from the park, that this has to be a key component of restoring the environment of this area. So a little bit of what we've heard about the environment. So three options, seven constants in all the options. I've added a seventh from the workshop, and that is to provide emergency access, and I'll try and point out in each concept how we're doing that. So we're always removing the dance hall foundation. We're removing the parking on the south side of Erie, the washroom foundation, the existing washroom and foundation, hibernation areas, et cetera, et cetera. So concept one. So I'm going to point out the key components and then show how they vary among the concepts. So all of the concepts are showing a play area and a splash pad. And why that's important is because as landscape architects and designers, we look at the park as providing amenity in the shoulder seasons as well as on the hot summer, July and August days when everybody's playing in the lake. But there's lots of times when the park should function as a terrific municipal park and provide other amenities for people in the area. So the play area is an important component of that. The splash pad, we've had a lot of comments that people do not think that that's a valid component of the plan, and we're taking that into consideration. In this plan, the main axis is north-south in the middle of the site, emergency axis on the east side. The washroom is centrally located. We're always showing the lobster house as an open pavilion, and I've got a diagram to show you that shortly. The beach overlook would be on that foundation that I showed you as being protected in part to protect toad habitat, and we're exploring with our coastal engineer now exactly the design of that and where it's open to maintain the hibernation areas. So landscaping, green, an area for picnic and overlook at the top, some hard surface areas for events. In this concept, the passenger drop-off is on the north and south side of Erie Road. And for each of the concepts, I'll show you a 3D model that demonstrates the scenario on the north side of Erie Road. So on this plan, we're showing development on the northeast lot for 2-3-story townhouses, stacked townhouses. It could be live-work units on the ground floor. The northwest lot is maintained for parking. Show you the second option, that now the play area splash pad is moved central to the site. The parking drop-off comes inboard into the park, not just along Erie Road. The washroom is moved over to the west to provide a cluster of buildings at the now open pavilion. All of the concepts are showing a gate and kiosk and ramp down to the beach. So with admission or a controlled access, they would all be controlled by a building, a small building that's located at the entrance. Landscaped area on the east side and emergency access along the east side as well. And in this scenario, we wanted to explore an option of having a higher building, 6 stories on the east, the northeast block, and developing the northwest block with some parking in behind could be townhouses stepping down to the neighborhood to the north. The building on the right could be a small apartment building, or it could be, it could be apartment building, or it could be a hotel. Then the final scenario now pushes the play area at the closer to the beach at the top of the slope. The washroom is a bit closer to Erie Road. Green space, beach overlook. This one also demonstrated a seasonal boardwalk along the top of the beach over to Ashwood. And the 3D model of what this one. So now we're just flipping the slightly taller building to the northwest lot, and the northeast lot is similar to the concept one. We did a lot of work on the design guidelines. Rick, our urban designer, spent a lot of time in the community trying to characterize what gave it the buildings its character. And so this is becoming a component of our plan, where we're itemizing the guidelines that we would apply to development applications about the pitch of the roof, the porches, the front doors, the entries, et cetera, et cetera. Some examples of appropriate building, and these are in the 3-story range. We have had lots of requests from the community to show examples of buildings that are in the 6-story range, and we're compiling those now. So what we've heard about some of the site options, this is just a sampling of what people have talked to us about. So some illustrations now of some of the key components. So this is Erie Road as a pedestrian-focused shared street. We're looking along towards downtown Crystal Beach. The key components are a continuous sidewalk, area to drop off on the north and south side. You can see in the distance that there's a hint of development on that northeast lot that's 3 stories with balconies, low-pitched roofs, landscape on the parking lot side as well as on the beach park side. When we look south from Eastwood into the park, this would be demonstrating that first scenario where the main access is in the middle of the park, and you get the hint of the landscape character, the streetscape character with lights, what the pergola could be like on entrance to the park, the structure that's just beyond the car, an open air structure under which there could be benches. We spent a lot of time looking at the lobster house and are suggesting that it be repurposed as an open air pavilion to retain the site's cultural heritage features. We looked at the 2007 report, and Rick Merrill actually went into the site, into the building on that first workshop, and that report says that it can and should be easily upgraded. It talks a lot about the condition of construction, the frame, the its exceptional condition given its age, and it's exhibiting no visible signs of distress. So we're showing some illustrations of what it could look like as an open-air pavilion. It could be the location for heritage interpretation panels on the back wall. There's so much heritage to talk about in this community, and it would be a perfect setting, as would underneath the pergolas. So this is a view looking over that upper terrace. You can see in the distance the overlook to the lake. This could be the location for seasonal events and picnic tables. Precedence for washrooms, so everybody without question is requesting that the washrooms be upgraded, change rooms, lockers, showers, and this will be unto itself the focus of a very detailed design exercise to get the design right. Precedence for the roll-up beach mat. So originally we had imagined that it would follow the top of the beach between Ashwood and the Bay Beach Park, but then we thought that it could also extend down to the water's edge to help organize beach use along the beach. And there's lots of precedents for whether it's a roll-up rubber mat is the one in the bottom left, or it's boardwalk. There are many scenarios that can be explored during detailed design. So a little bit about what we've heard about the key components of the plan, the lobster house, the walks, the play areas. So I'm going to finish with the overall financial summary that start with a summary and then show you some of the details. That Bay Beach is currently cost to the taxpayers, and I'll tell you what that means in a minute, that the sale and development of lots on the north side has the potential to offset part of the capital cost of beach improvements, has the potential to generate significant tax revenue. Enhanced beach operation can be a break-even proposition, and we think that the development also has the potential to be a catalyst to the Crystal Beach revitalization overall. So why is it a net cost? This is a detailed breakdown of the revenues and the expenses that we put together with the help of town staff over the past little while. And so it clearly sets out line by line what the revenue that's being generated and the costs that are being expanded. So the bottom line is that what our analysis is showing us is that it's actually a cost to the Fort Erie taxpayers of about $70,000 a year. The construction cost for the Bay Beach improvement, so these are constantly being refined as we're thinking about the next iteration of the final master plan now. And what we've done is we've added into this document or into this list, sidewalk extending on the south side of Erie Road to Ridgeway Road. And we're also adding the cost to do detailed design and construction drawings and documents for the park. So it's in the order of $2 million. And any of those numbers on the left side will go up or down as we get into detailed design. So where are the land sales enter into this equation? That the higher density scenarios have higher values of land that ranges from $300 to $1.5 million. The money from the land sales will go directly to construction of Bay Beach Park. Annual tax revenues at each option generates a different mix of tax revenues. The higher density scenarios have higher assessment values. There was a detailed financial model that were developed to track this. The range of annual revenues of about $200,000 at the highest level of development. This is Fort Erie's portion of the tax revenues. So then we looked at ongoing revenues and the costs associated with the beach operations. So this analysis was based on charging $3 for adults, $1 for kids. We'll be exploring other values now. Many people talked about charging $5 for adult, so the numbers will go up or down. It assumes parking revenues from the Northwest lot and other revenues from vendors and food trucks. And then we've estimated the cost of a beach supervisor, of enhanced security, of parking, of maintenance of the enhanced beach improvements. So we think that it's possibly a break even. I'm almost done. So the beach operation is essentially break even. Any given year could be up or down. There's a potential to generate a small surplus. And if there is surplus, those revenues should be dedicated to Bay Beach. And then in terms of the potential economic impact, we think that the enhancements are key to revitalization of Crystal Beach. It's a key contributing factor to the destination strategy, tourism strategy for Crystal Beach and Ridgeway overall. And that assuming that the beach is more effectively able to link visitors to downtown, John Linton on our team has estimated about $1 million in visitor spending annually. In terms of what happens next, we're almost finished preparing what we've heard since Workshop 2. That'll be submitted to the town and posted online. We're preparing the final iteration of the concept plan and the report. We're aiming for November 5th for the third workshop and then the final report and presentation to council.
Thank you very much. That completes your...
Yes, it does. Yes.
Okay. Members of council have any questions? Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Donna, thank you very much for coming this evening, and thank you very much for a very well done presentation. Just a couple questions. In the beginning of your presentation, you did talk about connecting everything from Ridgeway Road to Bay Beach, and you mentioned something, and I know when we met at one of our team meetings, someone else mentioned the sidewalks, and they're not very friendly when it comes to walking. Did you do anything as to just a rough estimate of what needed to be done or what could be done with that and cost to that?
So we have carried a line item of about $150,000 as just a lump sum right now. And as we get into this final phase of our work, we'll do that. We'll do in the more detailed of an analysis of what's required.
Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much. And in option one on the slides, when we met with the team meeting, I know there was some discussion about the lower washroom entrance, and I thought that someone had suggested that that wouldn't be a very good idea, but I see it's still here.
Let's just have a look. My assistant, my very friendly assistant, is helping me. Oh, there we go. Yes, it is. Now, that was from as we presented at September, but the advice that we're getting from our coastal engineer is that we have to remove that. So I don't think that that's going to be staying in the final iteration.
Okay, all right. And then in option two, where would we see? Oh, I see this is the emergency route.
Yes, on this concept, it's going central to the central through the site to the gate kiosk. But when we do the final iteration, we're going to make it very clear where the emergency access is, and we won't put trees or anything that gets in the way and confuses people about how trucks might move through the site. But so on this option, it's coming central through the site from the drop-off.
And then how would it enter onto the beach?
So then it comes down the ramp.
Oh, that would be big
arrow,
enough to handle large equipment?
On this option.
Okay, and then lastly, let's go to the construction costs slide. Yes, the second bullet there, $400,000 for stone revetment, and we're not going that well. The stone revetment is that. Are we going to replace that with the seawall?
What I mean is the stacked stone. And again, the coastal engineer will tell us how high, what materials are best, but what we did talk about is try to reuse whatever's on the site. And so when you look up and down from the beach, you'll see lots of properties that are using stacked stone, so it's not unlike that. But I need to defer to him. He's the one who's going to be liable for whatever we end up showing on the drawing. So, but it's stacked stone. It's not poured concrete. It's
with
not
the bonnet and what you discussed at the beginning of your presentation.
Right.
But the cost would basically be the same?
Yeah, that's a cost that he's comfortable with carrying right now. But we're, again, going to be looking at each one of these costs over the next month as we prepare for the final session on November 2nd. So if they come up or down, we'll report on that on the 2nd.
And then we'll know exactly where your engineer is coming from as far as revetment work.
Correct, correct.
Okay, all right.
But he's advise me at this point that a better term is to use stacked stone or
armor. Okay, all right.
Stone.
Okay, thank you.
Anything further, Councillor Liberts?
No, that's it for me. Thank you
Any
very
other
much.
Councillors? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship, through you. I just have a question, a follow-up question with respect to the construction costs. And you say that it would probably fluctuate down or up by what percentage point?
Oh, yes. I can't answer that right now, but we're going to do a final iteration of the plan, and then we do the calculations of the length of stuff and apply the unit costs, and so it really, we have to get into that next round of detail, and then we'll come with it a little bit more refined.
Is that it, Councillor Butler? Anyone else? Ms. Hine, thank you very much. I know that you and your group have put in tremendous amount of time and energy with respect to this, and it's very much appreciated, and I know that many people I've spoken to have recognized and acknowledged that. One of the things I was a little surprised at is each one of these concepts has lots of trees, which is fine. I love trees. But it would appear that that's going to interfere with the vista. And is that intentional? Is that just happenstance?
No, the view from Erie Road out to the park is really important for us, so we'll take a closer look at where we're locating the trees because we don't mean to block the view.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. And if there are no other questions, thank you. Look forward to seeing you at your next presentation.
Okay.
Is that in November?
Thank you very
or is
much.
That before?
No, it's November 2nd. Or sorry.
5th.
Is that right? Fifth? November 5th.
Yes.
Sorry, November 5th is the final workshop.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
So that completes delegations. That takes us to the consent agenda. And Councillor Butler, you have a resolution with respect to the consent agenda.
I do, thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Are there any questions or comments arising out of any of the items on the consent agenda? If none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Takes us to responses to inquiries. And Mr. Walsh, you have some information relative to an inquiry raised by Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On September 14th, Councillor Passero inquired if staff could contact the Ministry of Transportation regarding engine brakes being used along the section of the QEW adjacent to the sound attenuation wall at Oaks Drive. Residents feel the noise level of trucks using these brakes has increased and ask, can the town request a sign to reduce the use of Jake brakes in this area? On September 17th, the MTO corridor management section replied that the use of engine brakes has been identified as a safety enhancement for heavy vehicles and when installed properly should produce a sound level similar to that of accelerating vehicles. Restricting the use of a safety mechanism such as engine brakes is not appropriate. Therefore, the ministry does not have a sign to discourage the use of engine brakes and will not grant permission to use the MTO right-of-way for this type of signing. Signs such as this could be cited as a contributing factor if a truck was unable to stop in time to avoid a collision. Excuse me. Heavy-duty commercial vehicles are manufactured to comply with current noise regulation. This also applies to factory-installed items such as the engine brake. The police do have authority under subsection 75 bracket 4 of the Highway Traffic Act to react to vehicles having unmuffled exhaust systems and/or making excessive noise. Town staff is unable to place signage along the MTO right-of-way as per the advisement above. Should residents continue to be disturbed by the engine brake noise, representatives from the Niagara Regional Police will be advised and asked to complete enforcement in the area, looking for offenders with unmuffled exhaust.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. That takes us to new business and inquiries. Any inquiries or any new business? Councilor Giroux?
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Just in response to staff's response to my inquiry of a couple weeks ago, I appreciate the time they took to get that information from the MTO. And I'm wondering, as a follow-up, I agree with what the MTO had to say, and I relayed that to the resident, and he is also understanding of that as well, as are the other residents on the neighborhood. I'm wondering if we could go back to the MTO, given that information, and request an additional sign, not one that asks for the non-use of the Jake brakes, but maybe an additional sign further back that also says QEW ending, please reduce speed. There is a sign there right now, but it's right at the end of the QEW. So by the time the trucks get to that sign and see that notification, they're right there at the residential neighborhood, and that's when they're applying the brakes, because really they've been given no notice prior to that. Maybe if we could go one interchange back with similar type of signage, they could start that process prior to being adjacent to the residential neighborhood. So kind of a plan B, not saying to restrict the use, but maybe we could just have it started further back if they're going to be utilizing it anyways. Hopefully we can go back and see what type of comment.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Mr. Walsh, you can take that up with your contact at the MTO.
Yes, there's through you, Mr. Mayor, there's that issue. Also, on the northbound QEW lanes, there's inappropriate guidance signage that we'd like to bring to their attention as well.
Thank you.
Anything further, Councilor Passero?
No.
Any other councilors? Then that takes us to motions. And I have a motion, Councilor Butler. I wonder if you'd be good enough to take the chair so that I can put forth a motion. I guess I need to get a seconder.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. So,
Mayor Redekop, you have that motion that you'd like to read?
I do. Thank you, Madam Acting Mayor. I move, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that consolidated bylaws should reflect all of the changes, current and future, that have been approved by Council. And if I might just briefly speak to that, Madam Chair. The intent of this, and I've had a fair bit of dialogue with the clerk regarding this, is so that when we amend bylaws, those amendments will find their way to our website so that individuals looking up the bylaw will know that there has been a recent change. For some reason, we have two systems, one that is available to our staff, which does in fact highlight that there have been changes made and what the changes have been made. But for the public on the internet site, our website, they have to be directed to some other bylaw to show where the change has been made. Ideally, the public website would have the same changes that our staff and we have available to us. That is, you go to a bylaw, it's a consolidated, up-to-date bylaw. Any changes that are made are right there. And I understand that the clerk has had discussions with our IT staff. We'll be following that up, and that's really the direction that this is going. So I would hope Council will support me on this. This just makes it easier for the residents to follow and for us to respond to their inquiries.
Thank you. That motion is on the floor. Does any councillor have any comments or questions? Councillor Passero.
I fully support this. This actually tripped me up a few weeks back when we were dealing with the SBCA issue. When we were looking at the bylaw that was presented and there were items that were struck out, I didn't have a clue whether we were looking at the current one, the proposed one, or something from the past. So if we can give people the most current and up-to-date bylaw, and really anything else that's transpired is of no consequence to anybody unless they need to research that a little bit further. So I'll support this.
Any other comments or questions? Councillor Lubert.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Go further with all this. If I remember correctly, also when I was looking through the website in the past, there were some And I'm just used for an example. There was a memorandum of understanding that we have with our gaming, and that has been amended. And when I was going on the website looking at that, I would, if you didn't get the right one, then you would be looking at the wrong one. Both of them were there, the older agreement and the newer agreement as amended. And I'm just wondering if somehow we can, it's going to be a lot of work, I guess, for staff, but somehow if we can get those things also, not just bylaws, but agreements that we have, so that they're updated as well.
Thank you. Your worship.
Just to respond to Councillor Lubritz, I believe those amendments were approved by bylaw, so that by definition, under this resolution, that would be taken care of.
Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Motion carried.
Thank you. May I have the chair back?
I have the chair back.
Thank you. There is a second, there was a second motion, but that's being deferred. That relates to the Miller Creek Marina project, and that's being deferred until October the 28th. Are there any notices of motion this evening? Councillor McDermott.
Yes, Your Worship. I would like to give a notice of motion regarding the licensing of residential properties that are rented out to the public for short-term rental periods. I've had numerous complaints from residents from down on the boulevard this summer with regards to houses next to them being rented out on a weekly basis. It's causing some of the residents some angst, and I will be presenting a full motion on this next time I get the opportunity.
Okay, so would that be, Councillor McDermott, just for clarity, would that be at our next regular council meeting, or will you be consulting with the clerk and then determining when to bring that notice of motion forward?
I believe it'll be at the next regular council meeting.
Okay, and that's October the 13th?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other notices of motion? There being none, then we takes us to consideration of bylaws, and I need a motion to remove bylaws 117 and 118 from the package. Councillor McDermott, seconded by Councillor Zanko. Any other bylaws that need to be removed? And then I'll call the question to remove those from the package. All those in favor? That is carried. All those opposed? That is carried. So, Councillor McDermott, I understand you have the resolution to give first and second reading to the bylaw package, so that would be without the bylaws 117 and 18 for the time being.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw package containing 119-2015 to authorize the appointment of auditor and to authorize the execution letter of engagement with the Grant Thornton LLP for the fiscal years 2015 to 2019. 120-2015 to adopt a policy to regulate the use, alteration, and occupancy of highways, highway occupancy policy. 121-2015 to amend fees and charges by law 40-09 as amended, highway occupancy policy, permit application fee, and damage deposits. 122-2015 to authorize the entry into an amending agreement with the Regional Municipality of Niagara, Niagara Regional Policy Service Telecommunications Tower Lease at No. 1 Municipal Center Drive, and 123-2015 to authorize the entry into an encroachment agreement with the owner of 134 Belvedere Road, Brewster Road, Road Allowance. It's given first and second reading.
All those in favor? And opposed, that is carried. Those bylaws within the package remaining are on the floor for comments or questions. Seeing none. Oh, sorry, Councillor Lubritz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just to go to bylaw 123-2015, the encroachment. Just a couple questions, and I guess I would have to refer these to our CAO. Looking at what we've done here and what is proposed to be done, and I'm assuming will be passed this evening, allowing this encroachment agreement to go forward, is that going to affect other encroachments in the town of Fort Erie when those when they arise? Given the fact that our last meeting there was some discussion that there are a lot of other encroachments in the town that we may not even be aware of, and is this going to be the new rule that we're going to be following, and are we going to be setting the precedence now?
Mr. Cookett.
Through your worship to the councillor, to answer your question, yes, I believe we are setting a precedent when it comes to fences on municipal road allowance. This to me is a good option. It's a fair option. We will not be going out seeking for these encroachments on the right of ways. We are reactive. We don't have the staff to be proactive, so as they come up, we will deal with them. But if it's a situation similar to this, we'll deal with it in a similar fashion.
Councilor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much. And just one further question to that, and that would include any encroachments on our waterfront road allowances as well?
Through your worship, that is correct.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments with respect to the bylaws within the package? If not, then Councillor Lubberts, I believe you have the bylaw for third and final reading. And mind you, the bylaws 117 and 118 have been removed from the package.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaws number 119-2015, 120-2015, 121-2015, 122-2015, 123-2015 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. So we'll go back to bylaw number 117. Councilor McDermott, could you do a first and second reading for that bylaw, please?
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Knott, the bylaw 117-2015 to amend zoning bylaw number 129-90 as amended, removal of holding provision Ridgeway by the Lake Phase 3. It's given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. That bylaw is on the floor if anyone has any questions or comments. Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much. Just going through exactly what's happening here and going through the bylaw and looking at it, I'm just wondering if we could just get a quick short explanation just for the general public so they understand why we're removing this holding provision.
Ms. Dolch, is that your area? Please.
Through you to the councillor. The reason we're moving the holding provision, what's required is that they enter into a subdivision agreement before we can remove a holding provision. They've now entered into it, paid all their securities, and it's been registered. So now we're in a position to remove that holding provision for them to move forward with their development. They did, earlier this year, did do the pre-servicing of that development, but now they're looking at building homes.
Yes, thank you very much. And then the site plan agreement that was in there, I'm just a little confused. It was my understanding that Alfred Beam is listed here as the owner, and I was under the understanding that he was just the contractor doing the infrastructure work. Is he the owner?
The corporation that he owns is the owner. And his name appears because he's the principal, but it's a corporation
yes.
that owns it, and he's the principal of that corporation.
So this isn't owned by the original owners of Ridgeway by the Lake?
It's a different corporation. I don't know what involvement there may be, if any, of the previous corporation that developed the first two phases.
But it's still Ridgeway by the Lake.
Still Ridgeway by the Lake. Right.
So he has assumed Ridgeway by the Lake, just this portion of it?
His corporation.
That's the confusion that I'm having here. Where are these? Some of the owners have called me and said, where are we at now? Do we have a new owner of our subdivision that we have to go to? Because it's still called Ridgeway by the Lake.
It is Ridgeway by the Lake. Phase 3 is owned by this numbered corporation. Mr. Beam, to assist counselors in the event they have a conflict, is shown as the principal. What the status of phases 1 and 2 are, I can't tell you. That's not before us this evening. And that, I think, is best taken up with whoever the previous owner was, and they can advise you whether there are any changes. Are we aware of any changes to that, Ms. Dolch?
Through you. No, my understanding is the previous corporation still owns phases 1 and 2. Phase 3 is a new owner.
Okay, thank you very much. And if I may just follow up on that, and maybe my question would go to Ms. Dolch as well. If there's some problems now with people from phase 1 and 2, because from what I understand, there was some discussion about how phase 3 was going to be implemented and things that were going to happen in phase 3 during phase 1 and 2. So do they now have to deal with a separate owner? Does the separate owner, this numbered company, do they assume the responsibilities of phase 1 and 2 and what the residents of Ridgeway by the Lake were expecting during phase 1 and 2?
Well,
of phase 3?
Yeah, so that
carries over?
The easy answer is that unless there's been a change in ownership, those people who own homes in phases 1 and 2 continue to deal with the original developer. If there's been a change in ownership, then they would have to determine whether any of the liabilities have been assumed by the new owner. But we're not dealing with that tonight. We're dealing with phase 3, which is completely new. There are no residents there yet. They'll have to deal with this numbered corporation. So the people in phases 1 and 2, they can deal with the original owner and developer unless there's been a change of ownership. I don't know that, but that's something they can find out. I presume that they're still dealing with the same people.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any other questions with respect to this? I think that takes us then to third and final reading with respect to this particular bylaw, Councillor Lubberts. You have that resolution?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaw number 117-2015 be given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any further questions or comments with respect to that particular bylaw? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to bylaw 118. Councillor Nutt, I think you were the seconder on Councillor McDermott's resolution. So, Councillor Basura, I wonder if I could, since you handled this in committee last week, I wonder if you could deal with bylaw 118. The conflict that I have relates to the ownership of 287 Central Avenue, which relates to a rebate of $2,860.49. That means that the remainder of the reductions, refunds, rebates, cancellations is $28,031.36. So if you could deal with 287 Central Avenue, well, you know what? Why don't you just deal with the whole bylaw, first and second reading, and I will simply, why don't we just do it that way? You can deal with the whole bylaw, and I'll simply not vote on any of it. Okay, thanks. Only took me a while to get there. You seem to be having fun watching me, so I didn't.
So we have moved by Councillor Nutt, or Councillor McDermott. I'm going to move this one, and seconded by Councillor Nutt. So bylaw number 118-2015 is now on the floor to approve applications for cancellation, reduction, or refund of taxes levied for the years 2012, 2013, 2014, and 2015, noting the mayor's conflict regarding 287 Central Avenue. Comments or questions regarding bylaw 118-2015? Seeing none, all in favor? That's carried. I'll pass the chair back to Mayor Redekamp.
That was first and second reading. Now we go to third. Councillor Lubberts has that.
Thank you. Councillor Lubberts, third reading for 118-2015.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaw number 118-2015 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Final questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor? That's carried. Pass the chair back to Mayor Redekamp.
Thank you, Councillor Passero, and I think you may have the next resolution. No, that's, you do?
Yes, I do.
First and second reading for the
confirmation
bylaw. Please proceed.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw number 124-2015 to confirm the actions of council at its meeting held on September 28th, 2015 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Zanko, you have the next resolution.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that bylaw number 124-2015 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Takes us to scheduling of meetings. Are there any meetings scheduled that anyone wishes, Councillor Zanko, and then Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Your Worship. I was just actually wondering if perhaps the fire chief can give us further details about the upcoming Rib Fest being held at the Leisureplex on Saturday. I understand that there is tickets still available, but I was wondering if he could possibly give us the details of the time.
Chief.
Your Worship, I don't know exactly what time it is on Saturday. I know it is Saturday afternoon, held at the Leisureplex, and if you do require tickets, I know they are having to put their order in very soon. So if you get them in tonight or tomorrow through one of the members, then you can still get some tickets.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we ask the clerk to make inquiries and make sure that that's on our website, since it's at the Leisureplex? Right, so, and it should be. Any other meetings?
No, thank you.
Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekamp. Tomorrow at 5 p.m., being held at the YMCA, is the Uncle Sam's Hall Charity Association AGM, so I encourage representatives of any charities who receive bingo funds through Uncle Sam's to attend. And two events I'd like to highlight coming up as well. Friday, October 16th is our biannual Chamber of Commerce Business Excellence Awards. I believe Mayor and Council received invitations. Hopefully you're able to attend. Anybody else looking to receive tickets can get those through the Chamber of Commerce office, 871-3803. And secondly, a reminder once again, the Santa Claus Parade, Saturday, November 21st. If you have an interest in putting in an entry or a float, please contact myself. And it's shaping up to be a very good parade. So looking forward to having everybody's attendance.
Thank you. Councillor Nutt.
Yes, Your Worship. Thank you. We just have our Community and Development Services meeting on the 1st of October this week. And another event that I'd just like to highlight on September 30th is the Head Injury Association Golf Tournament. It's on September 30th.
Right, and that... That starts at 11:30 for registration, and lunch shotgun start at 1. The meeting on October the 1st, CDS, that's at 5?
No, it's at 4 p.m.
4 p.m., and that's in the town hall?
Correct.
Okay. Councillor Butler?
Thank you. I'd just like to make everybody aware that on the heels of a successful Ridgeburg event, that Ridgeway is also having their fall festival this Saturday, October 3rd, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Free family fun with lots of surprises, so expect everybody to be there as well.
Yes. Any other meetings? Not that we need more. That's plenty. So there's lots of activity going on in this community. Councillor Nutt, I will ask you to provide the final resolution for adjournment.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott. The Council adjourns at 6:59 p.m. to reconvene in regular Council meeting on Tuesday, October 13th, 2015 at 6 p.m.
All those in favor? None opposed. Thank you very much, all.